1180 WHAM proudly welcomes you to Soundbite. This is America's longest-running computer show. Call the show now, 222-1180. The Choice One toll-free line, 1-800-295-1180. Or Star 1180, a free call for Verizon Wireless subscribers. Now, here's Nick Francesco, Dave Enright, and Steve Ray on News Radio 1180 WHAM.
Good afternoon and welcome to Soundbites. It is Saturday, the 23rd of March, Anno Domini 2002, and you are listening to Soundbites, America's longest running and dang most perfect computer call-in radio show. I'm Nick Francesco.
I'm Dave Enright.
And I'm Steve Ray.
And on the buttons, Mr. Rob Linton. He's the guy who keeps us happy and together.
Somewhat in control.
Somewhat in control, as much as it's possible. And he's the guy you'll be talking to on the phone when you call in at the numbers you already heard. If you're in the 585 area code, it's 222-1180. On the Choice One toll-free line, 800-295-1180. And I want to know why Liz Bonus gets a vanity 800 number and we don't.
Well,
and
give
for
us
your
time,
wireless customer, it's Star 1180.
We can go 1-800-SOUNDBITES.
That's right, 1-800-THE-BITE. That's what I'd like.
Ooh.
With a Y, of course.
Yes.
Before we get to the phones, however, we have news, and we're going to start with Dave today.
Whoa.
Oh.
Wait, I wasn't ready. There's a great program going around right now, or wouldn't say it's super great, but it's right. Interesting. What it is, folks, if you use Instant Messenger or ICQ and all those, there's a program going around called Cracker. And what this does is more or less put a virus or a little program on your computer. Here's what it does. Say my boss doesn't allow me to go to certain websites. Well, what I can do is send out this little program, put it on your machine. And then I can go through your machine, get out to those sites, and if your boss didn't like you going to those websites, guess who's going to get blamed? You! And meanwhile, I still get my information. So it's definitely something you want to be aware of. Again, keep the antivirus software up to date and protect yourself.
There you go. That's it. And if somebody sends you something over Instant Messenger that says, run this, it's cool, don't.
Well, and the other misconception, and I got to just jump in here for a second, is a lot of folks say, well, I don't open anything from folks I don't know. Well, hello. Most of the viruses are going through your, if you're using Outlook Express, using your address book to send it out to other folks. So you're going to get that message, oh, yeah, I know them. And they're from friends. Well, that's the way it does it.
There's a new one that purports to be a picture of Bill Clinton. And, in fact, you get to see a picture of Bill Clinton playing the saxophone with a brassiere hanging out of it. While you're viewing that, it's erasing your hard drive. So try not to open any of this stuff. Steve, what's going on in the Mac world?
Funny you should mention that. This week is Macworld in Tokyo.
I was about to say, not to be confused with Macworld.
Macworld, right. Macworld Tokyo puts all the rest of our computer shows to shame, even on the PC world. 54,000 people on day one.
What, the whole island turn out?
Pretty much all of Japan and anywhere else in the Pacific Rim that are into Macs end up at Macworld in Tokyo. Apple took the time to announce some changes in the product line. No new computers, like they announced they weren't going to announce a few months ago. They added a stunning 23-inch flat-screen display, 1920 by 1200 resolution, perfect for creating high-definition content. A 10-gigabyte version of the iPod, so now you can put 2,000 songs in your pocket, which apparently Nick gets a kick out of.
It just continues to amuse me. Yeah, I don't even listen to 1,000 songs before I forget what the first one was.
I actually ran into the 1,000 song limit on my 5-gig model because I've got 200 or 300 copies of CBS Radio Mystery Theater.
Well, exactly, yeah. Mm-hmm. And I put my whole Shadow collection there with room to spare.
I lost my train of thought. Thank you.
Beep, beep. Senior moment.
They also announced support for Bluetooth and OS X. You'll be able to download a free system edition starting next month to run Bluetooth devices. Bluetooth is a wireless protocol for PDAs, phones, things like that. And they are going to be releasing a Bluetooth USB adapter for $50, so you can plug in a Bluetooth thing into any USB device and any computer with USB to access these wireless devices. And they also had to, unfortunately, raise the price of the iMacs, about $100 each for the flat-screen iMacs. Jobs had said that since they were released, prices for the LCD screens went up 25%, and RAM prices have tripled in the last couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than take out features in the iMac, they decided to raise the price nominally. And it's interesting that some of the trade press is saying it's only $100, no big deal, and some of the other trade press is saying that the Mac price hike is roiling the community.
Roiling.
Ooh.
I love the word roiling.
So Jobs also announced that their production is up to full steam. They're shipping 5,000 iMacs a day. So if you're on the waiting list, it shouldn't be too much longer. Or you can jump off the waiting list, come down to JC Group. We have them in stock.
There you go. A couple of quick items from the rest of the world. AOL. When AOL bought Time Warner, they insisted that all of the folks at Time Warner use AOL's email program. Unfortunately, management got months of complaints from both senior and junior executives in all the divisions who said that the email system initially designed for consumers was not appropriate for business use. Among the problems cited, the email software frequently crashed, staffers weren't able to send messages with large attachments, people were kicked offline without warning, and if people tried to send messages to large groups of users, they were labeled as spammers and locked out of the system.
Whoops.
Sometimes emails were just plain lost in the AOL ether world and never found, and if there was an out-of-office reply function, nobody could find it. So that was it.
All great features.
Apparently, Time Incorporated, who is the United States' largest magazine publisher and a very heavy email user, was the company's worst hit division, and they've stopped now. They lost much of their email. It was a horrible thing. And very quickly, there's a wonderful new, everybody in the industry has stopped creating and innovating and started litigating. Here's a great one. Microsoft has sued a company called Lindows. Lindows is a company that is attempting to figure out a way to run Windows programs on Linux.
Cool.
So you can just, load your Linux, your Windows program and run it over Linux. They call their company Lindows. In December, Microsoft sued them, claiming the six-month-old company was illegally taking advantage of its Windows trademark and potentially confusing customers.
Lindows versus Windows? Windows, hello.
Windows customers are already confused.
Right, because they bought Windows in the first place.
Yeah.
That was the Mac guy. However, in a preliminary ruling issued late Friday, this is my favorite, I love this. Remember this name, U.S. District Judge John Coffenauer said the suit raised serious questions about whether the word Windows is entitled to trademark protection.
Yeah, really, because what do you have in your house?
Windows. Right. He did refuse to shut down the Lindows site and stop the smaller company from using the word Lindows, so that it's going to go to trial. But judge said, although Lindows.com certainly made a conscious decision to play with fire by choosing a product and company name that differs by only one letter from the world's leading computer software program, one could just as easily conclude that in 1983, Microsoft made an equally risky decision to name its product after a term commonly used in the trade to indicate the windowing capability of a graphical user interface. And Microsoft does a lot of this. Windows, Word, they just use generic names. And now this judge is saying you might not be entitled to copyright trademark protection for those common words. So we'll see how that plays out. But in the meantime, if you're on the line, hold on. I sure hope that guy from Philadelphia is on an 800 line. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the buttons, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. It's true, I am Nick Francesco. I'm sitting here with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the buttons. We are taking your calls, and we are going to start with Irv all the way from Philadelphia, PA. Welcome, Irv. What's going on?
Oh, I got real problems here. Okay.
Are you actually listening to us?
My friend is lives in Rochester, and I usually call him with my computer problems, and he got stumped and said I should call you.
Perfect.
Cool.
Now you can tell all your friends and get your local Clear Channel affiliate to carry us.
I will after today.
There you go. And join us on soundbites.org, our website.
Okay. Okay, soundbites.org. Okay, I'll remember that. Hey, want to hear my problem?
Yeah,
no,
cool.
No. That's sick of your problem. No, go ahead.
What's your computer question?
I have a Dell computer, and yesterday my son was on AOL. Shortly thereafter, he was doing something else. It locked up. And when he rebooted, all he got was a dark screen with a cursor in the upper left corner. I tried to reboot it from a floppy, and that doesn't work. I can't reboot it at all.
Key question. Were you running an antivirus software?
No.
Well, right now, there are about four viruses that, that are right now getting attached to emails. While you're sitting there reading them, it erases all the files on your hard drive.
Yeah, that's what we were just talking about in the beginning with that Bill Clinton thing.
Well, that
that's one of many.
That would give an error message, no operating system.
But then why couldn't I reboot from a floppy?
It might have wiped out his BIOS. There's other viruses that wipe out your BIOS.
Right. Here's what you ought to try doing. While the system is booting, there is a key combination that lets you get into the setup program.
I already did that.
And what did you find there?
Everything seems in order.
All right. When you said you booted to the floppy, will it get you to at least the C drive?
No. When I put the floppy in, it won't even say abort, retry, or non-system disk. Nothing.
You go back to that blank screen.
Mm-hmm.
Are you doing this on a cold boot or warm boot?
Either way. I've done it both ways.
Because viruses can survive a warm boot.
Right.
Some viruses.
Now, I've done it both ways.
When you're booting, though, in the BIOS, does it first go to the A drive? Does a light come on and you
the light goes on.
And do you hear the disk churning?
I don't hear any churning.
You might want to try using the load setup defaults just to make sure it rewrites everything normally. Even though they look okay, there might be something set weird.
Right. When you go into the BIOS, there should be a choice to load defaults.
You know one other thing I just
And that might do it, what?
Is that boot floppy of yours, was the write protect on it or not?
It might
well,
have.
Well, I just made a brand new one on another computer.
And did you have the write protect on it?
When you booted the old
In other words, so nothing
machine.
Else. You know that little, on the back of the disk, there's a little
No, I didn't.
Ah! 10-to-1 odds, what's happening is, and if your other one was the same way, if that machine is infected and you're trying to boot to this floppy, well, it's booting, guess what? That virus just wiped out the stuff on the boot floppy disk or infected that.
You think it's a virus, not a hardware problem?
It sounds like a virus.
It could easily
there and wipe
be,
it out.
Well, it could easily be a hardware problem, but
you usually get some sort of an error.
Yeah,
right. There's usually some sort of error message. It may be. Was this machine moved or
no.
Bumped or anything?
Not at all.
Okay.
Well, what I would advise, I took out the microprocessor and reseated it, as well as the memory cards.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the same message.
Yeah, see, that would have been my next thought. That could have been the hardware thing, but
one thing that you can try to do just to kind of eliminate things is go back and make another bootable disk.
Yeah.
But make sure when you flip it over, that little window, wind up pushing that down.
So it's open.
So it's open,
so the system's
locked. Yeah, so you can see through it. So it's locked. That way you know you've got a good disk that's not infected, and you can go from there. Because if it is the hard drive, you should be getting some type of message that it can't access the C drive or something like that.
Yeah, that's why we're not that hot on it being a hardware problem, because there'd be some sort of error message usually.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Although not always, but usually
there
would
be. The CPU went bad?
It is certainly a possibility, but I would check the virus thing first.
But the thing
it's
is,
much more likely and also a lot cheaper.
When you put that boot floppy in, don't you see the RAM, and then it'll tell you the hard drives and all that stuff?
No.
Does it even go that far?
As I boot it up, it will list, it recognizes the keyboard, it recognizes the mouse, it recognizes the hard drives.
I doubt if it's a processor, because
you wouldn't even see that stuff.
Yeah, if it was a processor, it would do nothing. You wouldn't see anything come on the screen at all.
Give that a shot and let us know next week what happens.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate your help.
Yep. Thanks, Irv. Our next caller, Bruce from Henrietta. Welcome, Bruce. What's your question?
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
You kind of beat me to the punch in a way. I was going to recommend to a friend and Philadelphia area also to call you guys up for those things that stump me.
Hey, you know, that's why we're here.
You guys gave me grief for saying I have a friend who.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Anyway, in a more personal nature, these are Mac questions. So, Steve, perk up your ears.
All right.
I graduated my daughter from the Plus to a Centris 650 running 8.1, which is the latest and greatest operating system. I can sit on a Centris 650, but I can't use the At Ease. I have two versions of At Ease, 1.0 and 2.03, and according to Apple, they're for earlier operating systems. Now, I've used the launcher and the control panel to lock it down as much as I can, but doesn't get anywhere close to what At Ease can do.
Right.
I see her playing around. She wants to save files and things like that. So I was wondering, is there some utility out there that replicates some of the things that At Ease does? Apple apparently has ceased working on At Ease and is wanting to sell, I think, Macintosh Manager or something like that for schools and places like that.
Yeah, that's for large-scale management. What they eventually did is in OS 9, they added the multi-user capability, so you as an administrator can create a limited user that can't get into the control panel, can't get into the system folder.
What does At Ease do?
It's a security system to minimize access so students, labs, young kids can't muck about in things they're not supposed to. I'm digging around Apple's website, and I see references to At Ease 502, but since they don't sell it anymore, you may have to look around at some of the used markets.
Right, like an eBay or something.
Right. Sun Remarketing in Logan, Utah is a good place for older, even parts for older machines. You really can't upgrade to OS 9 on that machine to get the multi-user.
No, you can't even get to 8.5 or 6.
Yeah. We'll dig around a little bit and see if we can find an At Ease workaround or an equivalent program. There was, the Guard Dog was a shareware program that prevented you from dragging things on the desktop. So they couldn't drag anything into the trash. They couldn't drag anything out of where it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something to look into.
Guard Dog, okay.
Right, I'm not sure if that's still around.
Well, I didn't have to worry about these things in the past, and so...
Right. You might want to check out a couple of websites, lowendmac.com,
right.
mac512.com, and those are listed on our forums, frequently asked question list already.
Yes, I noticed you also changed the order on your websites that are mentioned, so that when you open up the window, you have the most recent ones. Which I think is much more useful.
Yes, thank you. Yes, it was a really simple change that I rather stupidly didn't do the first time.
And then on the other side, it gives you them alphabetically.
Right.
It's a work in progress.
Yes, it is a work in progress.
Well, I appreciate every effort you guys make in making it easier for us to navigate your website and to use our computers.
Thank you very much. We love to hear that.
I just found a tech note that said how to get the latest version, so we'll keep looking on that and let you know
what we find. Thanks. Our next caller is Charlie from Rochester. Welcome, Charlie. What's your question?
Oh, Nick, how are you?
Good. How are you?
Fine. My problem is I try to download certain files from the Internet. I keep getting this message all the time. There is a temporary network error preventing the download of your file. The network connection was gracefully closed.
Anytime you download?
No.
You get this message, or just sometimes?
Just sometimes.
Are they all off one or two certain websites?
Yeah. One was from MCC.
Right. Well, are you connecting via phone line?
Yeah, phone line modem.
Yeah. What it sounds like is either your internet service provider or perhaps theirs is a tad overloaded at the moment. And when you're trying to download a large file, you're getting cut off. And that's the error message that says there was a problem and we have dealt with it. There's no crash or, you know, any of that stuff, but obviously the file you're trying to download is gone. The other problem might be...
Oh, Nick?
That you're...
I'm sorry to interrupt.
No.
Sometimes it says this, the format of the specified network name is invalid.
That sounds like coding at the other end.
Yeah, that doesn't sound like you. That sounds like them.
Their end. They've got a problem with perhaps that file that you're trying to grab.
Right. The other thing it could be is the phone system was designed for voice phone and designed for relatively short phone connections so they could reuse the circuits. What's happening now with so many people getting online and staying on for hours at a time is that they're just simply running out of circuits. So what they've done is instituted something called a SLIC, Subscriber Line Interface Concentrator. And what that does is it takes up to 24 phone lines and melds them into one and then electronically shares the line by giving you a tenth of a second and the next guy a tenth of a second.
Ooh, I love it when you get technical.
Right. But what happens is when the lines are really full, your system sometimes drops data.
Oh, okay.
And if this only happens if it happens on only specific sites, then the problem is most likely those sites. If it happens at specific times, and those times are the busy times, like 7 to 10 p.m., 11 p.m., then I would suggest that the problem is most likely that you're on a slick and that you're simply in a very crowded area, and that's what's happening. So in other words, if you were to try to download this at 3 in the morning or at 7 a.m. or some silly thing, you would probably get it.
Oh, well, then I'll do that then.
Try that. And
typically,
it's
school hours, you know, from 7 or 8 to 2 or 3 is better than others because all the kids are at school.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, but then you've got adults on there surfing the net.
Well, the adults are supposed to be at work.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Once they're at work, though, and trying to sit there and tie up traffic on the Internet.
Right, but they're not on his slick at that point.
Right.
So that's what we're talking about there. Give that a try, Charlie. Let us know.
Okay, thank you, Nick.
Thank you. We're going to take a quick break. But we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. We don't need no stinking chat room. We're live, man. I'm Nick Francesco. We have Dave Enright. We have Steve Ray. We have Rob Linton on the buttons. You're listening to Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. And we have Keith from Farmington on the live line. Welcome, Keith. What's your question?
Nick, how's it going?
Good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm the ME guy, but that's not the question I have. But aside from that, I love listening to people's complaints about pop-ups. Switch to Opera.
You don't even get them, do you?
You don't get them.
I love
it's
Opera.
It's a truly amazing browser. It is truly amazing.
It is.
It's fast. It's tiny. You can control it as much as you want. It's wonderful.
There's so many things that you can do with it. One little sidebar on that. Occasionally, you do have to use IE to get to sites that have proprietary JavaScript.
Right.
But one time I clicked on the IE and it was running and running and running, and all of a sudden I get a message from MSN saying, hey, IE isn't your default browser. Would you like to set it as your default browser?
Right.
So I said no.
Right.
The question is, I've been trying to get a computer for my grandkids. They don't need anything that's fire-breathing. So funny.
That you think.
Well, they're little yet.
Yeah, but you know, those reader rabbits,
they too will pass very soon.
I had somebody give me an Aptiva 350 megahertz, 64 megabytes hard drive, or 64 megabytes RAM hard drive. I plugged it in, turned it on, and I got a message that says install boot disk, okay, which I don't have anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I unplugged the mouse from the back, hit Alt and Control Delete, and I got a menu that said, your mouse isn't detected.
Right, right.
Do you want to go to the main menu? So I said yes. So now I'm in the main menu, and the choices that they give me are system information, video, disk drives, input, output, power management, startup options, model, date, time, and advanced operation. I'm trying to figure out how to get the machine to boot from the hard drive and run, hopefully, the operating system that's on there.
Well, what it sounds like is there is no operating system.
Yeah, it sounds like somebody wiped it out. In other words,
which, of course, is legally what they're supposed to do.
Right. Okay. And if you're booting off that boot floppy, you should be able to go just type in a C colon.
Well, see, I don't even get a... when I put... It said, put your boot up disk in. So I had an old boot up disk from an older Packard Bell. I put it in, and then it tells me to install the CD, the program. So I put in my Packard Bell one, which was a warning on there. It says it won't work in other machines other than the ones you bought
it
for.
Right.
And it, of course, it doesn't load.
Right.
But
it sounds
it
gives
me the A prompt. But I try to type C colon backslash to get to the C drive,
right.
And I can't.
Right. It sounds like they totally F-disked the hard drive. In other words, you've got to get a...
That's the actual name of the program, not a euphemism.
Right.
Right.
Well, actually, backing up a step, are you sure the hard drive is even in the machine?
Well, that was the other thing. I took it apart and... I could tell the CD drive, I could tell the floppy, and I could tell something else. So I'm assuming the something else was the hard drive. So
yeah.
It's physically in there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So you're saying I need an operating system.
Yeah,
yeah, you need to get a CD. You need to buy whatever operating system you're going to put on this thing. You need to buy a bootable CD
All right, well,
version.
It has a sticker on the front that said it was Windows 98, but you can't buy Windows 98, correct?
Second edition
it's becoming harder to find, but it is still available on some shelves.
All right, now, it's safe to assume that if I were to buy that, follow the instructions, turned it on, it would detect what's there and install everything?
Well, you might have to first, like I was saying, go to somebody that has, say, Windows 98 on their machine,
mm-hmm.
Make a bootable floppy.
Because it sounds like the boot disk you have...
Well, again,
is an installed disk, not just an ordinary boot
but
disk.
But what you want on that boot floppy is also F-disk and format. Both of those two programs be on that floppy. So
right.
When you boot, then you can do an F-disk and then partition or set up that hard drive, because it sounds like they just totally wiped it.
Okay.
And you can set up the F-disk and just put it in, type F-disk, and then select number one, and you just take the defaults, and it'll set up the partition, and then you can format the drive.
On the other hand, then you still have to install an operating system.
Right.
And most of the bootable CD operating system installer programs, like the one that comes with Windows, will do all that part for you.
Yeah.
So you're still back to needing that bootable...
All right, so if I were to... I mean, the machine is, it's amazing how nice it is, and
yeah.
The ironic thing is, it's more powerful than the one I use in my house.
Sure.
But I'm still going to give it to my grandkids to
God bless you.
Tinker with.
But
so
what
I,
you
know,
need...
If I went, say, to one of the software stores and see if they had Windows 98, because
second
XP
edition
wouldn't function well with only 64 megabytes
right.
of RAM.
Right,
all right, so if they had a Windows second edition, bought it, and try to install it, that should...
It should work. Now, what you may end up having to do, and you might want to do this beforehand, is go out to the IBM website and download all the drivers for Windows 98 for that model of Aptiva. Make sure you get the right model.
All right.
Download all the latest drivers, because as you do the install, it'll say, oh, I found an XYZ something. Do you have the driver? Yes. And then you put the floppy in with the driver, and you're on your way.
For that video... That's usually on board.
Right, exactly. What you're going to do is when you download all those drivers, they're probably zipped up. You want to unzip each set to its right. own floppy disk and label it so that there's no confusion.
Well, the other thing which I'm sacrificing a chicken for is the person that gave it to me. I call him. He's going to see if he's got all the disks for it.
That would be good.
That would be even
not
better.
Not legal, but
that'd
good.
Be better.
All right. Hey, I appreciate it, guys. You guys have no idea the service you guys provide.
Thank you. Yeah,
thank you very much.
Thank you very much. We're going to take a break now and bask in our own glory, but we'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. So I hope you loved the news because we loved the nap. But we're back now.
Now we got to go back to work.
I'm Nick Francesco. We have Dave Enright. We have Steve Ray. We have Rob Linton somewhere near the buttons. Before we get back to the phones, I do want to talk to you a little bit about the poll. Every week, we have a poll up on our site. Last week's poll got a massive 292 votes.
Ooh.
Very nice. Thank you. And the question was, what is most likely to become of your current computer when you replace it? I'd like to thank Paul Deering, who has not listened to this show since December, for that poll idea. If you have a poll idea, please, for God's sake, send it to me. I need help.
With the polls, too.
I need help, too. Yeah, exactly. The choices were, what's likely to become of your current computer when you replace it? 40% of you said you'd keep it. 36% of you said you'd pass it along to a friend or family member. Only 15% of you said you'd donate it to a worthy cause. 5% of you said replace it. I still haven't even found the any key. And 4% of you said you'd sell it intact or in parts. 292 of you voted. I want to thank each and every one of you personally.
Where do they send their poll ideas?
To pollideas@soundbites.org. Simple enough.
Yeah, that'll work.
This week's poll is actually a repeat of one that I did, 2 years ago now? I use email at work to send private messages. The choices are regularly without giving it a second thought, a few times a week, once or twice, but it was an emergency, and why? What else is it for? So far this week, we've got 46 of you who voted. So get on over to our website. You can go to wham1180.com. Scroll down on the lower right, you'll see a lower left, rather, you'll see our lovely faces. Click on that. It'll take you to where you can send us a comment. Notice that's a comment, not a question.
Right.
We do not answer questions sent through the comment line.
Well, should we discuss the implications of the poll? Messages sent at work are basically you're stealing computer time from your employer for non-employment purposes,
right.
And they're not private. Anyway.
Right, they are not private. The reality is that the systems administrator, if he or she is worth his or her salt, can read any message going through the system. In some companies, it is mandatory that they do.
In fact, there was a case a couple of years ago where they found an employee at one of the big companies happened to be sending all of the software code they were working on to an employee at one of the other big competing companies in town.
Right. So that's the point behind this. If you regularly send, if you use work's email to send private messages, you should be aware that they're not private. And in fact, some companies have a policy that you may not send private messages except in case of an emergency, obviously.
Part of that statement was it's work's computer?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
They call them personal computers, but in fact, these belong to work, so they can decide what you're going to do with it. Anyway, vote on the poll, please, at www.soundbites.org. We're going to go back to the phones now. 222-1180 if you're in the 585 area code, 800-295-1180 on the Choice 1 toll-free line. And if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, that would be *1180. And our next caller is Russell from Greece. Welcome, Russell. What's your question?
Well, I have a laptop computer. Well, it was my grandson's. And he don't know what the password is. He forgot the password. Everybody put one in it. They don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But I've had it to a place, and they said there's a chip in it or something where you can't get into the password.
What type of a laptop is it?
A compact.
Is it the password when you first turn on the computer or the password when you try to log into Windows?
No, it just comes up with what is your password and then...
When you first boot up. Yep, compact.
Yeah, and all of a sudden it goes dead. They said it locks up or something or freezes when you...
Yeah, that's what would happen.
Yeah, quite often a number of the companies you have to literally send it back in. A number of different companies will allow you to do certain passwords, clear them by taking out the battery or setting a jumper on them or hitting a switch within the motherboard itself. But there are some companies that don't let you do that.
And
you've
got
to literally send it back into the company to have the motherboard replaced.
Yeah, well,
and usually with a proof of ownership that you're not trying to steal someone else's.
Right, the whole point is if somebody's got a password on their laptop, the reason they do that is so nobody else can steal the data, and they would remember that password.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, at this point, you're pretty much going to have to call Compaq and see what their policy is, and they may tell you over the phone how to do it, but it's got to come from them, I'm afraid.
1-800-OK-COMPAQ.
1-800-OK-COMPAQ.
OK-COMPAQ.
Sorry.
And that's the only thing you got to do with it.
Okay. I apologize, Russell.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. And here's the moral of that story. Don't use a password you won't remember. Our next caller, Joanne from Mount Morris. Welcome, Joanne.
Hi. Hey, I got a question for you. We have a horrible time getting on the net. And then when we get on, we have a horrible time staying on.
Mm-hmm.
Phone line?
Pardon?
Through the phone line?
Yes.
Yeah.
And sometimes it'll come up and it says, Windows says, do not detect the dial tone.
Yeah.
We've gone to MSN, our provider, and they've walked us through several things, and nothing seems to help, so I was wondering if you had any ideas.
Couple of ideas, Joanne. First, are you calling from the same phone line you dial into?
Yes.
The connection is horrible. There's all kinds of hiss and whistle and echo on the line.
Mm-hmm.
That will very much confuse and eventually cause you to probably be dropped by the modem.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is not detecting a dial tone usually means that the dial tone signal is low. That can be caused by having too many phones on the line too many cheap phones on the line.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Or do you have voicemail on your telephone?
No.
Because the voicemail or the call waiting signals will interfere with the computer.
What speed is your modem?
Pardon me?
What speed is your modem?
Oh, you would ask me that.
Is it a 288 or 56K, 336?
Okay.
That's my daughter's category, not mine.
Yeah, because if you're dealing with one of the older modems, that doesn't do as error correcting as well as, say, a new 56K, which might help you a little bit.
Well, I think ours is a 56 because the computer's only a couple of years old.
Yeah, but the reality, Joanne, is that your phone line is not particularly good.
Yeah.
You might call the phone company and ask them to check it, but they're only going to, you're contracting for voice-grade phone lines.
Oh, mm-hmm.
And that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
You're not, they'll gladly charge you for data-grade phone lines. But you might ask them to check the line. Tell them you're having trouble hearing, you need it cleaned up, it echoes, it pops, people at the other end are complaining.
Mm-hmm.
But a more permanent solution would be a high-speed service like DSL or Roadrunner.
But I don't know, do you have that down in Mount Morris?
Mount Morris has Roadrunner.
We live out in the country and we don't even have a paved road. We have a dirt road.
No. Well, then you're looking at satellite, which is
very expensive.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry, Joanne, there's no instant answer for you. Those are the things you have to try. You might, like I said, if you've got additional phones on that line, lots of us have a phone in every room and
we
all go and buy the $5 phones.
Yeah.
Try unplugging a lot of them.
Oh, I
don't know how many you have.
Yeah, unplug a few.
Unplug a few and see if that fixes it.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Well, let us know.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much. Our next caller is Lee from Henrietta. Welcome, Lee. What's your question?
Yeah, I have a Linux question.
Excellent.
I've downloaded a couple of programs, and they're tar GZ programs.
Yeah.
So when I go to run them, I'm supposed to do a period forward slash configure. That works. But after that, I'm supposed to do a make and a make install. But when I run the make, or when I try to run the make or the make install, it says bash make command not found.
Ah, there you go. That's because... Sure, and it's
a password. Yeah, your message is correct.
Yeah, it did not find make or make install. Here's the deal. When you installed Linux, you had a couple of choices on what to install and not to install, and you probably didn't install any of the languages. When you install the languages and the development stuff, that's when you get the ability to do make and make install.
So what languages do I have to add?
Most likely C.
Most likely C.
Right. But you want to get all the development stuff, the headers, all of those things, because those let you compile the software. Now, what's really nice about that is that most of these things, when they compile directly, when they let you compile, they compile as optimized as possible for your system. So when they run as fast as they can. Not always, but usually they optimize at least something in the compiler. So that's the good news. The bad news is that if you didn't load any of that stuff, you can't do it. So you can go back and add that stuff.
Right.
And it depends on what version of Linux you're running as to how you do that, but I'm sure you can figure that out from the documentation.
Yes. Also, I heard you talking about you love Opera.
I love Opera.
And I put Opera in. It runs very fast, and it loads all the pictures and all that stuff. But what about sound?
Well, that's you get no sound?
No sound.
Do you get sound from other...
Yeah, the Netscape sound works.
Okay, then I'm not exactly sure off the top of my head what that would be, but I would check your preferences and see that you've got the right sound driver being referenced.
Also, there's a preference in the browser to turn sound off completely.
Right.
Oh, okay.
And what graphical user interface are you running? GNOME or KDE?
GNOME.
There's a very nice one for GNOME called Galleon. G-A-L-E-O-N, which may or may not... What distribution are you running?
Red Hat 7.1.
One. No, you probably didn't get it with one. Two is out. Make sure you do all the updates, too. But seven. There is a thing called Galleon, and you can download it off of... There's a GNOME software site.
Uh-huh.
Out on the net, gnome.org. And, in fact, don't call me and tell me it's pronounced gnome, because, in fact, it's not. They used to, at least, pronounce it gnome. I don't know Gawai, but they...
Hey, they're the experts.
Right. But you can find that at gnome.org.
Okay, thanks, guys.
Okie doke. And we'll have gnome.org up on the website in just a couple of moments. Our next caller...
Nope.
...is not going to happen until after the break. We're going to take a quick... We're professionals. Don't try this at home. Back in a couple of minutes with Dave, Steve, Rob, and me, Nick, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. To Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. I'm Nick Francesco with Dave Enright. Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the buttons. Give us a call, 222-1180 in the 585 area code. If toll-free choice one line is 800-295-1180. And if you're a Verizon Wireless customer, it is star 1180. You'll notice the 1180 theme running through all of that. We are taking your calls right now, and we are speaking to V from Rochester. Welcome.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
This question, unfortunately, is about Media Player 6.4. That ought to get a chuckle. But anyway, I had a problem with Media Player 6.4, so I went to Add and Remove Programs, and thinking that it was going to be just like Internet Explorer, where you can restore it,
yeah,
I lost it. So now my point is, I really don't want to put Media Player 7.1, so I'm trying to find out how to get it back in there. So if I go to Accessories and Entertainment, it shows Media Player 2.exe. And when I click on that, it says a required DLL file, msdxm.ocx, was not found. So I added that file in the same place where Media Player 2.exe is.
Right.
And I still don't have Media Player 6.4 showing up in the Add and Remove programs like I installed it.
Well, I think you're going to have to download it.
But you can't, because the only thing that's available from a Microsoft is for a Mac. Media Player 6.4 for a Mac. They don't have it for a PC.
Say not so. I'm looking right at the page.
Well, they have 7.1 for PC. Did you find 6.4 for PC?
Player 6.4 for Windows 95 and NT4.
I looked at it, and you have 95, and I have 98.
Yeah, well, Microsoft.com/Windows/Windows Media/download, and there's a pull-down menu to pick what version you want.
I did, and it still doesn't show it.
Showing here.
Showing.
I'm sorry, I'm looking right at it. First you select the download of Windows Media Player, then you select the version, and the second choice, well, all versions is first.
Yeah.
So the third choice down is Player 6.4 for Windows 95 and NT4.
And even though you're running 98, you can still run 98.
Oh, that's where I stopped. When I saw 95 and NT, I figured 98.
No, you can still run it on 98.
No, you can run it.
Okay, so...
And that link is up on our website, or will be momentarily.
I tried to get the program that you suggested. In other words, what is it called?
Opera?
Audacity.
Audacity, sure.
And
that's not a player.
Oh.
That's a recorder.
Okay, so what is the player then?
Well, there's one called Ogg Vorbis. That does a bunch of different things. But
wait a minute. Normally, Steve comes up with these goofy names.
I know it, but that's already
listed. What, today's your day, and you're already two
right.
for two.
Doggone right. That's already listed on our website at soundbites.org. Go down to the lower right. You'll see a link for I Heard a Website on your show. And on the right, they're listed alphabetically, and Ogg Vorbis will be listed there.
Okay, one last thing.
You want Media Player 6.4 for Windows, it is there. It's 3.5 meg, takes about 18 minutes on a 28K modem.
I could not find it. So basically, what you're telling me is what flagged it not to do it was that it said Windows 95 and NT.
And NT4.0, yes, you can still use that at all on your 98 machine.
See, that's what flagged me not to do it. By the way, in listing the 10 files in one folder in this Media Player 2.exe, I see this thing called Log Agent. Is that the thing that allows them to send back?
Yes. It doesn't send, you have to remember, it doesn't send the actual video. It just sends the name and if it was, if you went to the CDD
the whatever that's called.
Compact disk database?
Yeah, CD, compact
disk. CDDB.
Yes. CDDB, yep. That's it, thank you. And got the name and artist and et cetera of the track, it sends that back as well.
Well, the thing about 7.1 that flagged me is when I was on the verge to install it, and then I read the licensing agreement, and it said that that the related updates to the operating system components will be automatically downloaded right through Zone Alarm, I assume.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And because they're part of that download that you've already okayed.
Right. So that when I saw that, I figured, hey, they've got a way into my machine. What else?
And you actually read the license agreement?
Yeah, I did. I always
read. We got to put that down. There's one.
There's one. You're one.
Hey, I made a chuckle. That's good.
That's great.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I bet you he even reads the manuals.
Yeah, I know. It's just,
well, actually, in this case, his problem was that he read too literally.
Right.
95
yeah,
and then right. P. Well, yeah. I've got 98, and I'll stop here.
Yeah.
There's actually very little difference between 95 and 98 internally.
Yeah. Right. So anything for 95 will run on 98. Our next caller, Joshua from Spencerport. Welcome, Joshua. What's your question?
Thanks. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
I need an upgrade because my computer is running really slow.
Okay.
Should I get XP Home Edition?
What kind of machine do you have?
Windows 98 Second Edition.
No, how fast is your processor and how much memory do you have?
Memory, you got 191.0 megabyte of RAM. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And I got system resources 81%.
Yeah, but what is it, a Pentium 2, 3?
Oh, Pentium Intel Inside Celeron.
And how fast does it run? 450 megahertz, 300 megahertz?
400 megahertz.
Okay. That's certainly fast enough to run XP. Now, who made your system? What is it, like a Compaq or a Dell?
Well, let's go back a step. If the system is running slow, upgrading the operating system isn't going to help any. In fact, might make it run slower.
Yeah.
You need to figure out what part of your system is running slow. Is it because your hard drive is full? Is it because you don't have enough free memory? Is it because your processor is slow? Those are the things that make the computer
slow. Well, plus the other thing, though, is he might be doing himself a disservice because that's the minimum.
Right.
333 is minimum processor speed. So you're just a hair above that with a 400.
I don't think I'd run XP on anything below a Pentium 4.
Yeah.
Well, I'm doing a Pentium 3, but matter of fact, I'm doing it on a Pentium 3 800. I recommend at least a Pentium 3 600. I'm more or less doubling the minimum requirements that Intel is saying. It's like saying, you know, well, yeah, I can get on the thruway and drive 35. I'll still get the Buffalo versus
but where,
6.
Where,
let's go back to your problem.
Yeah,
which
where is your computer running slow?
Right. What runs slow?
Some of my games, like when I go online, it loads it takes like 24 minutes to load.
Are you on a modem or a fast connection?
Cable.
And it takes 24 minutes to load a game.
Yeah.
Have you talked to other people loading the game from that site?
Actually, yes, I did.
And they're faster.
They said you're probably running a coil, but I'm not, and I don't know.
Okay, how much free disk space do you have? See, if it when you load a game from the net, there's a lot of temp files that get loaded on your system. If it's fragmented, and or you don't have a lot of free space on your machine, then you're going to have that problem.
Right.
In addition, if it's a Java-based game and you're running an old version of Java, then it's going to run slow. So first I would do a defrag, clean up a bunch of files that you don't need anymore, look for temp files and get rid of all of them.
Yeah, I tried taking off the, when I hit Control-Delete, I tried taking off like the stuff I not use in the background.
All right, but that gets it out of memory. It's not taking it off the hard drive. I'm talking about going onto your hard drive and looking in the Windows temp directory and get rid of everything in there.
Yeah. Right.
And take any files off that you don't use a lot, all those MP3s you listen to once and never listen to again, stick them on something else.
Yeah.
Then you want to be able to go to the Windows update and update your system and see if any of that helps.
That
but that's
work
where
in
to start.
And
one's on 95, that's right.
And one other thing, though, that you might want to look at is if you've got, say, just a low-end graphics card, whether it's a 2 meg or a 4 meg, you might want to look into getting, say, an 8 meg.
or more.
Or if you're running too cheap of an ISA Ethernet card for your cable modem, getting a faster PCI card could make the downloads work faster.
Absolutely.
Well, I got December, I got for Christmas some memory and a new hard drive.
Right.
So my CD-ROM is new, and I replaced it at November.
Well, that's great, but that's not going to help you with downloading a game from the net. So if you've got is it a second hard drive or just a new hard drive?
A new one.
Okay. Make sure it's defragged. Make sure there's a lot of empty space on it, and those are the things you're going to have to do. We got to run. We got to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Litton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Where? Oh, right here. And also here, Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton on the buttons, and Sharon from Greece. Welcome, Sharon. What's your question?
Hi. I want to first of all thank you guys for taking all of our silly little questions and making them into solving or problems being solved.
It's our pleasure, Sharon.
I am running a Windows 2nd Edition.
Mm-hmm.
On a Quantex computer, which I know they're no longer in business anymore.
Right.
but my computer's running great. I want to say that, except for I had a virus on it. And it was one of the ones that McAfee and Dr. Solomon had a hard time catching. It was something about master at something B32. And the best way I can describe it is that whenever I passed over the mouse over the icons on my desktop, they went haywire. They went dancing all over the place.
Yep. Okay,
it was that one.
Mm-hmm.
The Dr. Solomon and McAfee, which I'm working on for my antivirus, the best suggestion they said was to delete a file. And the file that it deleted was mplayerq.exe.
Okay.
I deleted that. And now I need you to help me to get into the WinINI file so I can kick out the, it's like a program that it's telling it
to run its startup.
Right.
Yeah, if you go to the start button.
I got that. I'm right
go
here
to the run.
I'm right at the computer, so let me hit.
All right, go to the start button.
Okay.
No, really, seriously, you need to write this down. We have to get on to other calls.
Okay.
Go to the start button.
Okay.
Click on run and type sysedit, S-Y-S-E-D-I-T. Hit enter, and that will open up a series of windows. And one of those is the WinINI, the SystemINI, the config.sys, and the autoexec.bat. And from there, you can edit the line that you want to do.
Be very careful that you only remove the one line you're supposed to, because changing the wrong thing in those files can make Windows not work.
What you're probably rather than deleting the line, put a semicolon in front of it.
Okay.
That tells it to ignore the line.
So without actually deleting
S-Y-S-E-D-I-T?
It.
Correct.
All one word.
Okay.
All right. Good luck, and let us know how you make out. Our next caller, Chris from Pittsburgh. Welcome, Chris. What's your question?
Oh, boy. I've got a problem, guys, that's been stumping me for months now. I have a portable. It's a Dell Latitude laptop I take. It's got Windows 98 on it, Office 2000. What happened, one day I was traveling with it, it went from tone dial into pulse dial.
Mm-hmm.
You ever heard of this?
Yeah, sure.
Well, I went back into the system, going to start, going to modems, go into modem properties, get into dial properties to change it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get in there. It's an error. Comes up with an error message.
What's the error message?
Says something about you can't. I don't have my computer with me here, so I'm just doing it by memory. It says something to the effect that you can't open this. Some problem has occurred with Windows, something, modem.cpl.
You're running Windows 98?
Yeah.
SE?
Pardon?
Second edition?
No.
Sounds like your modem control panel, the CPL, has become corrupted, and
right.
You need to replace it. If you run the Microsoft System...
Will that work with
file
the original?
Checker, yeah.
SFC will work in regular 98?
Start run SFC. That's the system file checker. We'll check all your Windows systems and repair any damaged ones.
You'll need your CD.
Unless all the cabs are on the hard drive.
Right. But just to be on the safe side, have your CD with you. And as Steve just said, click the start button,
mm-hmm.
click run, and type SFC, which is short for System File Checker.
Mm-hmm.
And that will go through and check all your stuff. If there are any problems, it'll repair them.
If that,
that's only for Windows files.
Yeah.
That will not work for other programs you've loaded, third-party things, games, stuff like that.
Well, according to what I can remember, because I don't have my computer with me right now,
right,
is that it was a Windows problem.
Well, right. I was just saying that for other people's benefit, because they may then call up and say, well, you know, I'm having trouble with Quake, and I ran SFC, and it didn't fix it.
Or
well, right,
it won't. Word.
Right. But this strictly is for Windows system files, and that's where you're having a problem. This should fix your problem.
The other thing that SFC will do is let you manually restore a single file, like modem.cpl.
Yep. Right.
Give it a shot. Listen how you make out.
All right.
Thanks.
Thanks.
Our next caller, Dinah from Holly. Welcome, Dinah.
Hello. Having a problem with an old computer. Computer's about 8 years old, and with all the fun of the windstorms and losing power, I mostly leave it on all the time, but if it has been off for even a couple hours, it doesn't want to start. Is that the internal battery?
Where does it stall when it's trying to start?
When you push the start button, it either the first time after it had been off for 3 days, it started like an old car with a low battery.
It could be just a simple thing as the power supply.
Okay.
And the battery's simpler, but...
Or it could be... Did you hear like a grinding noise?
But the battery wouldn't be for...
I mean, when you say it started like an old car, did you hear it grinding up or what?
Yeah, and I almost had to like hold the button in like I was trying to... Like when you're trying to...
What it sounds like is you may have either a fan problem...
The fan is relatively new, only a couple of years
or
old.
Or the hard drive.
But there's a fan in the power supply also.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It sounds like the power supply not generating enough power.
That could be, you know, if that's all caked up, and I mean, I've seen my share of them. If you want to see some disgusting systems, check out my website. That people think that their systems don't need cleaning. That could be just packed, and it's, you know, burning out.
If it's an 8-year-old machine, you've never had it cleaned out.
What was that?
If it's an 8-year-old machine and it's never been cleaned...
It's never been cleaned.
It could easily have 8 years of, you know, particularly if you have cats or dogs.
Dogs.
There you go. You probably got dog hair packed in there like you wouldn't believe.
Okay.
So I would suggest you open up the machine, turn it off but leave it plugged in, open it up and see if you can pull out some dog hair and stuff, and then particularly check the fans and see if you can pull stuff out of there. It may be that it's been packed in so tightly that you just have to replace the power supply, but you can start there with your own self-maintenance. If that doesn't work, then you need to bring it to a reputable dealer and have them look at it.
Okay. Because the second time it miraculously came back to life after 3 days.
Yeah, well, like I say, it's sporadic and you might want to have it checked out.
But it's like jump-starting it. Eventually, it can spin up enough to generate what it needs.
Right.
Okay.
Give that a try.
And one more real quickie.
Very fast.
Yep. I have a Mi Pro 3.0 on this computer.
Wow.
Yeah. Real old. And which I found on like half.com.
Right.
Not to name names. 3.1, will that open the 3.0 files?
Yes, it will.
Yep. Okay. That's it.
There you go.
Thank you.
We're going to take a break. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes with Dave Enright, Steve Ray, Rob Linton, and me, Nick Francesco, on Soundbites on 1180 WHAM. Yes, indeed. I am Nick Francesco. You're watching...
No, you're listening.
Radio. You're watching a radio. Why are you bothering? Look around. There's a whole world out there. Just listen to us as we... I don't care anymore. We're going to... Before I forget, Dave just
but we're having
me
fun.
To listen in. For those of you who are long-time WHAM listeners, Bob Lonsbury does a show from, 11 to...
11 to 2.
2? On this, apparently I'm not a long time listener. from 11 to 2, and this Friday we'll be here in his stead. Exactly, we'll be here in his stead. But we're going to go back to the phones now.
But wait a minute. We got to put one stipulation though.
Right.
Is you folks, if you do catch us this coming Friday from 11 to 2 o'clock, management has told us one thing. We cannot talk computers.
Yeah, we will dump the call.
So stay tuned, folks, because this should be interesting.
We will dump the call if you ask about a computer thing. We're going to talk about everything else under the sun. And now I hesitate to go back to the phone.
Oh, my man.
I'm going to talk to Argyle from Rochester. Welcome, Argyle.
Good evening, people.
How
good
are you?
Good afternoon.
Yes.
It took a lot of guts to take the call, but
no.
All I want to know is, where's the archives?
You know where the archives are, Jeff. For those of you who are new listeners, when
yeah.
we were
we
on our old
some
station,
background here.
We had archives. The old shows would be up so you could listen to them either as streaming media or for download. Currently, when we moved to WHAM, they had to get the corporate okay to do that. They have that okay. Jeff Howlett, who is the
gave
station...
Gave us our bossing.
Who is whatever he does here, program director or whatever he does here.
Our boss.
And hopefully he's not listening.
Boss. Yeah, who cares? I like Jeff. I just don't know what his title is. Who cares what his title is? He's a big noise here. He said
okay.
yes. He said yes. It's okay with him. The people who were doing it, however, have not yet decided whether or not they would. They own their own streaming media server and they have their own disk space. And they have not yet determined whether they are willing to give it to what is now a commercial venture. And that's certainly their prerogative, but they are in the process of reaching that decision, and when they make a decision, we will hear about it. But there's no longer anybody to pressure because these are just private citizens and they can say the hell with all of us and just shut it down. So there's no, you know, unless you know somebody who's willing to donate a streaming media server to us, we're waiting for them.
Okay, are we talking streaming or archives?
Either.
Either.
We've still got to put them somewhere.
Okay,
and,
well, we can work around that as long as we need the site. We can work around that.
Right. That's where we stand. We're just waiting for Phil and John to make their decision. And, you know, whatever decision they make, God bless them. They provided a great service to
yes.
this community for a lot of years, and we're very grateful to them for doing that. If they decide to do it again, God bless them. And if they don't, God bless them.
Without a doubt.
Yep.
Okay. I just wanted to move the ball a little bit.
There it is. It's now rolling around on the
floor
somewhere.
No, we got to get going with the Bean Queen now.
Oh, the Bean Queen's on the horizon.
Yes.
Really,
I mean, we got this brewing now, and, you know, I can just... Definitely.
You can go
to
beanqueen.com, but you won't see
you
much.
You don't get anywhere. If you go to beanqueen.com, you don't get anywhere, and that is
precisely
the
problem. Oh, yeah, you do.
No,
it's B-E-A-N.
B-E-A-N.
B-E-A-N-Q-U-E-E-N.com.
We'll go there and take a look. Y'all take it easy, huh?
You too.
All right, bye-bye.
Our next caller, we have no brain. We'll take calls from
anybody. Well, we got very short lives here, you know, but
we
got to focus on the things that are important, and one of them right now is now moving on to the Bean Queen and getting her going.
That's right.
So I can get my coffee order done.
Our next caller is Joe from Canisius, New York.
Hi,
Joe.
Hold on a second.
No.
No.
Hold on a second. What's the problem?
Hello?
Yes?
I have a problem.
Yeah.
I have Windows XP, and I've forgotten my password. And I have to go, like, really fast.
Well, unfortunately, if you have forgotten your password to log into your ID...
Yep.
You can go on as administrator.
Okay.
Go on as administrator.
And whatever you set the administrator password to be.
From in there, then you can go in and then delete you as a user.
You should be able to just change the password of other users.
Change the password.
If you can't remember any password.
Then you got a problem.
Reinstall Windows.
Yeah. Unfortunately, they've made it safe, and that means you have to remember your password.
Yep.
All right, thank you.
I'm sorry. I hate to say that, but that's kind of the way that goes.
Taking the time.
Okay. Thanks. It's our pleasure. Thank you. Our next caller is Jack from Rochester. Welcome, Jack. What's your question?
Hi. Hey, guys. Yeah, a simple question regarding my telephone line. Is it okay to have my computer modem and my fax machine on the same telephone line?
Yes and no.
Okay.
With a surge protector.
Well, there's that.
You can certainly do that. That's not a problem. The question is, how much power do they each draw? We had one questioner already today, and our suggestion was that you may get a bad connection on one or both. Because a lot of devices nowadays draw a lot more power off of the phone line than the spec says they should.
On the back of every telephone-ish device is a ringer equivalence number, and you add all those up, and that's the amount of power that your phone system is sucking in from the phone company.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I forget what you're allowed.
Yeah, but it'll tell you that on the back of the device. Add them up, and you should know. We are done for another week, and I apologize to the people we didn't get to. I want to thank Dave Enright, Steve Ray,
for answering all the great questions. Rob Linton on the buttons. I'm Nick Francesco. You can catch us at least
this
some
Friday.
Of us this Friday on the Lonsbury Show. Friday night at 7 o'clock on Our News, only on Time Warner Cable. And next Saturday at 12:20 p.m. on Soundbites, only on 1180 WHAM.